Don't get snared. Don't let faith become religion or superstition. Don't get snared. And hopefully, if I can work my way through this, we'll see where we go with it, yeah? And so as I thought about this, I was thinking of superstition. You know, a fear of the unknown or the mysterious, misdirected reverence can be in religion or in whatever we do. But superstition. And, you know, here I am. I've come along this morning with my lucky crystal. Yeah? Now then, you see my lucky amethyst here? Now, I've got to watch what I say because this amethyst, or whatever it is, I think it's an amethyst, isn't it? Purple crystal, was given to me by a young Matthew Wainwright. And I've still got it. It lives in my drawer. So I think it was given by Matthew anyway. Many, many years ago when we took them to a camp and they bought me a little, perhaps it was a couple of them bought it, a little crystal here. And it lives in my bedside cabinet there. It isn't my lucky crystal, just in case you think it is. But I was trying to look for something that, you know, some people would carry something like that around with them, thinking that that might ward off evil. And I used to work down in this garden, and they had this chap came over, and he was from Brazil, and he was quite a well-off chap, training to be a dentist. And he made these little faces out of like clay. And he said to me, I make these. He gave me one. I sell them back in Brazil. I sell them as, and people buy them because they, you know, all I have to do is tell them that they lack good luck. And people buy them. And so he sells them, see. But all he does is just make these things. And they're nothing to him. They're just a little selling thing that he makes money out of. But other people are buying these and wearing them to ward off evil. He gave me one. I couldn't find it. I don't keep it to ward off evil. It was just a present he gave me. And it's just a little bit of art. But depending what you think can determine what it is. So that to me is a crystal that was probably formed in the ground. To somebody else, it has power that's going to keep off evil. Well, it doesn't. But that's how their mind works, see? And how our mind works, see, that's to one person it's just a nothing, and to somebody else it's very much something else. And there are many superstitious beliefs out there, aren't there? And as I thought about this, in some ways, I don't hardly want to talk about them because it's funny how they can grab hold of our minds. And I could say, and you might think, oh, I never knew that one. But I've got to mention a few. You probably might know more. And some, I don't know, there's something about chucking salt over your shoulder. I don't know quite the saying. And I don't know the relevance of it. Whether it's for good luck or for bad luck or whatnot. Black cats walking across in front of you. People will say, a black cat walking in front of me. Now, I've heard some people say it's good luck, and I've heard people say it's bad luck. Hey, so it depends what you're thinking. But bad luck for them, yeah. But this is what people can live by. These things affect people. People, it determines their day. Some people, they'll see a black cat. Now, if they think it's bad luck, that's ruined their day because they've seen that, because that has a power in their mind. What about a broken mirror? 7 years bad luck. Now then, so you break a mirror. Now, you're moving your furniture around in the house. You crack a mirror. What do you do? Does that affect you, or do you think, oh, blow, I've broken a mirror? Okay, that mirror may have, say it was an expensive one, and it cost a few £100. Then, it's kind of bad luck in a sort of, you broke your mirror. But 7 years bad luck. Now, the problem is, if you believe that, anything bad that happens within that 7 years, what do you say? Oh, yeah, because I broke that mirror. And you kind of attribute to that mirror broken power that it hasn't got. But you actually, you can live in the fear of that. So you allow that to have some sort of hold on you. Horseshoes. Horseshoes. Who's got... No, I'm not going to ask you if you've got a horseshoe. They can be good luck and bad luck, can't they? Someone said if it's hanging one way, it's good luck, and if it's the other way, it's bad luck. Hey, horseshoes. When I was a kid, some kids would have... they'd have a little rabbit's foot. I don't think you see it around these days. Good luck, rabbit's foot, yeah? Not for the rabbit, yeah. You know, all these things we can allow to have some sort of power in our lives, can't we? Thirteen's a bad luck number to a lot of people, isn't it? To me, I was born on the 13th, and I always say, oh, lucky for some. You know? But a lot of footballers won't even wear the number 13, you know, in their kits, in this country, that is. Probably in another country, it's good luck, they all want it. And this is just the nonsense of it all. You can buy football kit, and football players are amongst the most superstitious. They will probably have a special pair of socks, or they have to put their left sock on first, then their right sock on. A special routine that day, otherwise they think it's going to affect them. And if something messes that up, do you know what? Of all their skill and fitness, they might have lost that game before they've started because they're like, well, I put the wrong sock on first, didn't I? So my game is ruined. And you think it actually affects them. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. But they kind of give in some sort of power to it because they're allowing themselves to be governed by it because they put the wrong sock on first. And never mind all the skill that they have and all the fitness they have, that belief that they've, I don't know, got out of bed the wrong side that morning has messed their match up. And it messes it up for the whole team. And, you know, these things, what about, you know, you see now in shops, so we have a lot of stuff. Now, for a shop, they'll sell you anything, of course. A little Buddha. What's a little Buddha for? Does that bring a little bit of peace to the house? Do we have a... Now, it doesn't. But people will do it because, now it could be a fashion thing, fashion. But if it's there because it brings a sense of peace to your house, there you go. There's another thing, another superstitious thing that has this power on your house. What about the yin and yang symbol? Yeah, is that supposed to be a balance of good and evil and... Is it feng shui? I don't know. I don't know anything about all this. All I know is that people have these things in their houses to try and bring peace, to try and have order, to try and keep them safe. So they carry around their crystals, their lucky charms, because they think that is going to keep them safe. Yeah? That stone is going to protect them. And of course, we're Christians and we believe that the maker of that stone is going to protect us. Not that stone. And we believe in the one who made these things. So we are believing in God. And it's not these things. These things. Now, the only one I would say has a bit of sense, walking under a ladder. Now, if I'm not saying it's good luck or bad luck, but I wouldn't blame you for not walking under a ladder, because if a pot of paint fell on you because there's a workman up there, it's common sense. And that one I'd say, yeah, walk around a ladder because it's not sense if a screwdriver falls down and hits you on the head. Some things like that, you can say common sense. But the rest of it, if you're allowing these beliefs in the mysterious to affect you, you're kind of giving them an undeserved authority in your life. And our authority, the one who should be having that authority over us is Jesus. Not a crystal. Not a something else and a something else. A rabbit's foot. Putting a charm on your door. These things have no power, but they do affect, they can affect you. You know, when you buy your newspaper and you go and read your stars and it says something. Now, if you just, the best thing is not to read your stars. Yeah, don't bother going there. But if you read them and you're going to allow that to affect you, you are kind of giving it some authority in your life. And you shouldn't. These things shouldn't have no authority in our lives. But as soon as, and you think, oh, well, it's only a bit of fun. I'll just read it. It's a bit of a laugh. And it says in there, something bad will happen to you today. Be careful. And something does happen. Because you've read it, now you, that's got your mind working. Oh, well, there probably was something in that. Do you see? So sometimes best to stay away from these things because it can have an influence on you. And all these things can affect us, whether we like it or not. But they don't have any power unless we give them power. Yeah? It's only if we give them any power they have any power. Otherwise, like my crystal in my pocket, it sits there, doesn't it? That's not going to ward off evil. It doesn't do anything like that. And whatever takes our trust, our faith, away from God is wrong. So if we're starting to put our trust in that rather than God, it's not right. And if we start to fear these things, it's like we've made God small and we made these things big. And we've got the things the wrong way round. God is big and these things are small. And it's really a choice we have to make between some of these superstitions or God. And we shouldn't. The simple answer is don't let these things determine your life. Put God first. Now then, I'll just tell you a little story and then I'm going to read a couple of verses from the Bible. When I was in college, I was in bed and I could hear, when I was in my room, I could hear this sort of rustling and noise going on. And I'm trying to get to sleep and I can hear something running around the room. And I'm like, oh, I want to sleep. But I couldn't sleep because I can hear something in the bedroom. I'm thinking, oh, it's a mouse, isn't it? It's a mouse in the room. So what do? I think, I'm going to catch that mouse. So I get a bin. I got a metal bin in that. And I got my bin and I set my bin up. And I got a little stick. I don't know what time this was. It might have been 1 a.m. for all I know. And I'm like, set my stick up next to the bed. And I must have put a little bit of bread or something underneath. And I'm lying there with my arm out of bed, ready to catch my mouse. And I'm lying there waiting. And all of it, I do hear the mouse come along. And the mouse goes in and starts nibbling at the food. And I just flick this switch and I caught the mouse. Down went the bin. Well, of course, I got the mouse and all I could hear then was because the mouse was trying to get out. And that was almost worse than the mouse in the first place. Only I knew where the mouse was. But he was then, and it was more irritating than anything. I must have gone off to sleep. And in the morning, I thought, all right, catch him and let him go. So as I went to try and catch him, he escaped. I saw he got away anyway. He ran out this hole down where my sink was. So I managed to bung the hole up. So at least I solved the problem of the mouse. Now, why do I tell that story? I'll read a few verses in the Bible. Judges 8, I think it's 22. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. It's a very good, honourable thing that he does here, Gideon. And he said, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. And it was the custom of the Ishmaelites to wear gold earrings. So they'd conquered these people. And he said, from these conquered people, could you give me the plunder that you've got? Because they'd gone around taking the earrings off them, the nose rings, the rings off their hands. They collected all the gold and silver. And he said, could you give me some of it? They answered, we'll be glad to give you them. So they spread out a garment, and each man threw a ring from his plunder onto it. The weight of the gold rings he asked for came to 1,700 shekels, not counting the ornaments, the pendants, the purple garments worn by the king of Midian, or the chains that were on their camels' necks. Gideon made the gold into an ephod. What's an ephod? Right? Which he placed in Ophrah, his town. Then this is the next interesting bit. This is the bit I wanted to go from. So he made this ephod was a religious garment. It was a garment that a priest would wear to come before God, to worship. It was a garment that David wore when he danced before the Lord. It was a garment that it's like we might say, I put on a garment of praise. It was a garment of religion, yeah? Back there, a priestly garment. What does it say next? All Israel prostituted themselves by worshipping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. And when it says they prostituted themselves, it doesn't mean they all went round selling themselves in that respect. It means that they worshipped this thing rather than worshipping God. That's what, when it talks about it in the Old Testament like that, it means they put this thing first before God. So instead of worshipping God, they went and worshipped this ephod, this cloak. And so something that was set up to help perhaps worship, to focus them on God, became a snare to them. It became the focus of their worship. And so, disappointingly, even though Gideon knew that God was to rule, he makes something to help them worship God. And what do? They worship the thing that is to help them. That thing becomes all important to them. And this is what can happen with us, actually, you know. And I've come here this morning with my lucky jacket on. Yeah, I got my lucky jacket, my sports jacket. And I've got my... I got my lucky crystal. So, yes, I'm protected. For the tape, I'm not really, but... I'm protected. See, I've got my lucky... Hey, hang on, but you're a Christian. Oh, you can't have these things. It's wrong. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take off my old lucky jacket. And now I'm going to put on my... new... jacket. Hey-ho. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Let me just take this off, because not only have I got that, I've got my Broadfield Christian Fellowship shirt on. I've got my Broadfield Christian Fellowship jacket on. Oh, what more can I put on that's going to look good? I'm going to put my street pastor's hat on. Doesn't that look good, don't I? I really look a Christian now, don't I? I look a Christian now. Wait a minute. Hang on, I don't have to look a Christian now. Wait a minute. I've also got a cross. Oh, it's quite an ornate one. I had to put some string around it. Oh, I've got it right into a mess. probably a message in there somewhere. Because this is Liz's. It won't fit me. So I've got to... Don't mind the mess. Can I get that around my big head? Yeah, there's my... I don't know if you can see the cross. But now I've got my cross... to wear. I've got my Christian hat to wear. I've got my Christian shirt to wear. And my Christian jacket. And now I am there.
You need
your
Bible.
Oh, my Bible. You're right.
Now then, let me get one. I'll get another one. A Bible. Yes? I've got a Bible.
On your own.
It's quite a big Bible.
Now, why do I pick all these things? Because actually, in themselves, there's nothing wrong with them, is there? There's nothing wrong with any of these. Certainly, we would say there's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with that? No, not really. Jacket, shirt, hat. Now then, when I go out on street pastors with my street pastor hat on, I have to represent street pastors. I go out on the streets as a street pastor, and if I bring street pastors into disrepute, they would probably say, we don't want you doing that anymore, if I went out there and sort of hit someone or... Yeah. If I was out... That's one of the things we shouldn't be doing, out there as a street pastor, joining them with a drink, as far as I know, anyway. And many other things. If I've got this hat on, I'm representing street pastors. And there's a code of conduct. When I go out on street pastors, I represent them, and I have to abide by those rules. Otherwise, I got that on. If I do something like get drunk out in the town with my street pastor's hat on, they will tell me, we don't want you to be a street pastor. You're shaming us. So, but not only that. So, when we wear these things, we can bring the church into disrepute, can't we? Just as a this is a little sideline here. So if I've got these things on and you see me up the shops with a bottle in my hand, drunk, what is that saying? It's not that good, is it? If I'm, write something, on Facebook saying, oh, I was out at the club the other day and I saw these hot girls. And you read this, what are you going to think about me? Yeah? It's not good, is it? So there's a way that we can carry on. Wearing the clothes doesn't mean... It's about what we do with it, isn't it? It's what we do with it. But also, these can be a snare to us because we can think that these things... are the things that are saving us. Yeah? And I have to be careful what I say here because, like that ephod that Gideon made in itself was just a lump of gold and cloth and whatever. But they worshipped it and it became a snare to them. They didn't need it. They could worship God. But sometimes we do things to help us worship. And we can have things put in place to help us worship. Now, you see this thing here, this cross. The church, this thing became so important to churches that they would worship, kiss the cross, touch the cross. It became all important. Till in the end, churches got rid of crosses out of their buildings. That's in our own history in this country. You can go into many churches, you won't find a cross anywhere, because they became a snare to the people, because the cross became too important. And you see this, that one, we've had these years, haven't we? And we could get attached to this, but we have actually got some new ones, so I've got to get rid of these. Now, can we get rid of them? Well, we can. We can just bin it. Yeah? Bin it. But how attached are we to them? You can have them if you want. But we shouldn't get attached to things because think about it. Are they becoming a snare to us? I don't mind if anyone wants them. I get sentimental. I like things. But when I grew up in a little chapel in Wales, which was an old bakehouse, which was a quarter of the size of this room and twice as scruffy as this room. And we had a big verse on the front. And someone had made a painting. And I don't think you see paintings in churches very often. And it amazes me. We had a painting. And it was a painting of Jesus waving by a palm tree. And then we built a new building, and I don't know what happened to the old picture, and I only thought about it much later. I wonder what happened to that painting. I wouldn't mind it, Mr. Sentimental. And I don't know, some probably tried to quietly get rid of it, because we can get attached to things. You see these banners? Will we ever be able to get rid of any of them? Or do we get too attached to them? Or have they become too important? It's a challenge to ourselves, because Gideon made this thing to help them worship. In the end, they became too important that people would have travelled miles to see this ephod. People would have gone to this ministry. Did I say ministry? Just to get a word from it there, because an ephod was used for prophecy, for praise. It was used in worship. The priest wore an ephod, and so you'd go to the priest with his ephod, and you would want all these things. We can put these things, we can become so dependent on them. Can we worship without them, or do we need them? Can we worship without a music band, or do we have to have it? It's there to help us. It's there to help us. But do you have to have it to worship God? Yeah? What I want you to do is think about all these different things that are there to help us, but can actually become a kind of snare to us. And we don't even realize. This book, you have one of these in your house, maybe two. And some people might think, I've got one of these on the shelf, it helps ward off evil. Oh, wait a minute, I've just swapped my crystal. Or I may be wearing this cross to ward off evil. You swapped your crystal for a cross. But you're still living in the same principles. And we just have to think, did anyone used to watch the old Dracula films? And they'd hold a cross up to the vampire, and the vampire would melt away. And actually, there's a kind of good principle in there, but there's a very religious thing going on there, with these things. And there's a statement where we're saying, yes, I want to be God's family. Do we represent him right? Or if I wear these things, God is going to watch over me because I'm dressed in his stuff. And then it becomes, because God doesn't promise that everything's going to go swimmingly for us. And you'd have a job to find that. You're heading down the prosperity gospel, where you can buy things. Now, and they're all based on good things. When you can buy your handkerchiefs from the God channel, blessed. It's biblical that they blessed handkerchiefs and people got healed. But it's become a money-making thing. When you buy your bit of holy water, it's become business. It's a snare. It's a corruption of the gospel. And when you see these things, think about them. You know, think about how dependent you are on such and such a ministry, because they can become a snare to us. It all can, because our faith, our belief is about faith in God. And it's a hope in God. I heard, and there wasn't any harm sort of in the thing, but someone gave advice that if you feel that there's evil in the house, leave the Bible open on your table. And I just thought, well, it could be an act of faith for someone, but it just sounds to me like some more superstition. Think why you do it. Is a Bible open on there warding off evil? Might do that. But yet we can speak words from this Bible. The Bible itself is a book. And I like to say it's a living book. But it has to impact our lives for it to have the effect, doesn't it? In itself there, it has words. Any scholar could read that book through. If it's not making a difference to you, it's a book, isn't it? Although it's going to come true. We know it's alive. But all these things, we can allow them. And there's many, many things in church life that you... What I want you to think about the whys. Do we do things because, hey, if I wear my jacket, I'm going to be in good luck. God's going to watch over me. Is it for good luck? Yeah, I've got my jacket. I can walk around in this. God's going to watch over me. He's going to protect me because that's my gospel. If I do good for God, I represent God. He's going to watch over me and look after me. Or I've got my jacket on and my cross to ward off the evil. We just have to think about these. Do you know nearly all the disciples were executed? That's the promise that we have. Not a nice promise, is it? No, we don't get promised that everything's going to go swimmingly for us. Things can go difficult for us, whether we like it or not. And the gospel that says that, you know, do this, do this, do this, and you'll become rich, wealthy, and healthy, and everything. It's a dangerous. It's not much different to wearing your crystal and your rabbit's foot and wanting it to look after you. And think about the gospel that we follow, and think about all the things that we can do, and whether we just put that on a shelf because it'll ward off evil. Because that's what it can become. Things can just become no different than religious superstition. Because I think when we lose our faith in God, we take up religious superstition, no different to anyone else. Only we've swapped our crystal for a cross. And we wear it. And if we're going to, and I'm not against wearing crosses, you know, but if it's for good luck or a show, or for fashion, what's the point? You know, think why you wear it. And if you want to represent God by wearing it, well, think how you're going to honor him. Are you going to wear it and live a nonsense life? If you're going to wear it, live a good life. Represent God by wearing it. We should be representing God anyway, whether we've got our cross on or not. But if you're going to do it, if I'm going to wear my jacket or my street pastor's hat, when I go out on a Friday night with that on, I represent street pastors. It doesn't... Anyway. And really, I just want you to think about some of the church things that we can... And there's many, many things come into the church for very good reasons and to help us. But they aren't essential things, if that makes sense. And perhaps I won't go into them, but the cross can become a charm, and the Bible can just be seen as a magic power thing. And there's lots of other things that have crept into church life that can actually become the snare to us. And a snare is a trap. That's why I told the little story of the mouse, because it was a trap. And an animal in the wild, hunters would set often a rabbit will run one route. You can see a rabbit track in the wild. It'll always run one route. And you can see where it actually, every time it'll go through that fence. And you can get a little, I think they're illegal in this country, but you can make a little hoop. And you could set it just there, you know, you don't even have to have bait. But it's going to run through there and you're going to catch it and it's going to choke. Sometimes you need to put food there and the animal will come and he'll get bait. We can just get caught up over involved in some of the things. Like if we forgot to put this out one day, how are we going to get upset by it, uptight? How important are these things? Because they're only there just to help us focus, but they're not essential, do you see? They're not essential. That isn't essential to be there. It's there is help us to focus on the cross in the corner. Some churches wouldn't have them, but they're just there to help us, but they're not essential. The banners, they're there because they've been words to us. If we didn't put them up one day, would you all say, oh dear, what's happening? Yeah, probably would, but it's they're not essential. They're not essential. A church building is not essential. Do you see? We could go outside, only not today, and have church in that ball court. Probably annoy all the kids, so we won't. But church doesn't have to be in here. It's about the people, isn't it? And it's about God. And it's about worshipping God. And these things are here just to help. This band is here just to help us. It's not all important. And if we can only rely, if we have to rely upon the band, and we can't worship unless we have the band, think about it. What's happening? It's becoming too important. So think about what our faith is. And think about God, because we should be able to come to God. Why? Because he is who he is. That's why. We can come to God always because he is who he is. Whether we're in a sinking ship or we're having the greatest day, you know, with the sun shining. And I think I'll just stop there. Yeah? Think about the things we do. Think about who you represent. And think about whether you swap superstition for another superstition, or you're starting to get the lines blurred. We should always be able to worship God because he is who he is. And he loves us. And that's the bottom line. Always be able to worship God. And when we look through the Bible, we see Jacob now just leaning on his staff like this, worshipping God. Didn't need a band. We see the wise men worshipping Jesus. They didn't get the band out, put up the cross. They just worship Jesus. Why? Because, hey, there's the Savior of mankind. He is worthy of worship. When Jesus calmed the storm, they said, wow, you must be God, because only God could calm the storm. We'll worship you. So they got the guitars out in the boat and started singing. No, because they spoke out. They understood that this is God. He is always worthy of praise, adoration, and worship. Whatever. And I'm going to stop on that. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would help us understand and question the whys, the need for. Help us to walk in faith in you. Help us not to have to rely upon the ephods of this world to be able to worship you. Help us to understand that we can come to you because you are who you are and you are always worthy of worship. And help us to realize that there is no barrier bar ourselves to worshipping you. And thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, we'd ask that you would look after us, Lord, and protect us, Lord. That you would guide our paths, Lord, and that you would watch over us. Protect our minds from all the nonsense that goes on in the world, Lord. And help us to be a witness, a true witness of who you are, and help us to represent you before people out here. In Jesus' name, amen.